requiring excess profits, anything more than a minimal amount of profits going into a Heritage Foundation would be that it would take years to gradually liquidate the assets. I think finally that what I've seen, from what little I've seen of all the resolutions and possible solutions to the Land Claims Act and the threat of corporation takeovers, I don't see any one solution as being effective. There's no single resolution that I've read or heard about that sounds like it'll stop all the dangers, but rather that what we should be looking towards is a whole series of resolutions that would be like a porcupine. A porcupine has thousands of those little needles, and the idea is that, you know, sure, if you really want to get a porcupine and you're a bear, you can do it, but the idea of a porcupine is that he makes it so painful that the bear doesn't think it's worth it. And that's the type of changes that we need to have built into our corporation structures, to impose enough resolutions, enough difficulties in taking over our corporation, that they'll look elsewhere for the quick profits and the minerals that the corporations might look for. Finally, this thing of right of first refusal being offered, where the corporation gets first shot at buying the stock, I think it's a nice idea, and we might as well throw it in because it won't hurt. But I don't know that it would help against somebody like Exxon that reported $88 billion in profits last year, because what you would have is an $88 billion corporation competing with a village corporation for shares, and who's going to win? Now, I don't think it would take long, or competing against NANA. NANA is one of the best corporations around from a financial standpoint of the native corporations, but it reported a $5 million profit last year. Exxon lost $1 billion in one fiscal quarter. That's more than the entire assets and value of NANA, and they wrote it off. They said, in the end, we'll make up for it. They made $88 billion. They sneeze and lose more money than NANA's worth. So the idea of right of first refusal just doesn't seem like it would be very realistic against those major stockholders, or major corporations, rather. But it might help to prevent the smaller people from getting us. So I say, you know, maybe we should throw it in just because it won't hurt, and it might help. Those are just some of the things that I've been thinking about concerning the Land Claims Act. My preference would be that, finally, that the regional and village corporations not give title deed to individual Alaskan Natives for land. In the Chelista area, one of the village corporations has divided up its lands and issued it out to individuals. In the village corporation for Chickaloon, they're issuing 40-acre titles to individual shareholders, each of their shareholders. And they're real excited about it. But the history of Indians in the lower 48 shows that whenever you issue private title to Indians or to Native Americans for land, that within 50 years, most of that land ends up in non-Native hands, because given their choices, historically, we're on the bottom of the economic ladder. And so these people who want to buy luxury items like insulation for housing and boats for fishing so they can earn a living, those people are given a choice of either holding on to 40 acres of land or selling an acre or two to buy these economic necessities. And those economic necessities never go away. Or their kid wants to go to college, and so they sell a few acres so that their student, you know, their kid can go to college. Nothing bad in that, but see, what happens is, over a period of time, all that native land ends up in non-native hands. I would recommend that 40-year leases be considered, or 60-year leases be considered, or even 99-year, Hong Kong leases be considered, but that in whatever we do, that we do not issue title to individual Alaskan Natives. I think I've said more than I wanted to. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you decided to cover as much ground as you did. I think everybody appreciates it. Anything else?
No.
I just want to say that I know what you mean by the jargon of ANCSA. When I first came to Alaska in the fall of 1983, people started talking to me about 7I and 14C, and you have to acquire a certain knowledge of what these phrases represent. And nobody seems to understand the act altogether. That's true enough. But I've found, when I've gone around the state, that in many of the villages, people may not understand the intricacies of the act, the details of the act, but they do understand that if the law remains unchanged, and if they elect after 1991 to sell their shares, that would mean losing control of the corporations and losing control of the land. That much, at least, most people understand. And I think that there has been, because of the concern now being expressed publicly by Native leaders and many others, and the people who've spoken at these hearings about 1991, as we move around the state, there seems to be a greater and greater appreciation of what may occur. They may not understand the act itself very well, but they understand what awaits them in 1991. And they also understand the possibilities of a taxation of native land used only for subsistence and the difficulties that would present. Finally, everybody, wherever I've been, every village and just about every person who's spoken has understood precisely about the new natives, that is, that the children born after 1971 were left out of the settlement. And that's something everybody understands. And I've wondered whether or not it's fair to expect people to go beyond all of that and then and to toss around in their minds all of these suggestions. You've tossed some of them around, the supermajority, the transfer to the IRAs, the AFN resolutions. I've read those resolutions, and a lot of thought has gone into them, but they're not easy to read over and say, oh yes, I understand this and the implications of it. And in fact, we are having a round table in Anchorage next week that will be held in public and videotaped and shown later on Learn Alaska, at which we're discussing some of these 1991 issues, and we have some of the AFN leaders coming and some legal experts from the lower 48, from Alaska, and some village corporation people to talk about these things. And I hope that I'll learn more about it, but even at the end of that, a week-long immersion in these things, I expect that, I hate to say it, but I expect there'll be some new questions that we haven't even thought of that will arise. And so you gave me an opportunity to say something after sitting here listening for a couple of hours, and I took advantage of it. Anything you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Roberta Ferguson. I'd like to thank you for coming to Kotzebue to have the hearings here. I feel it is important for the people in the Nana region to be aware of the issues concerning us. And after listening to most of the testimonies, I thought I should give my testimony too. Before going to school, I never heard very much on Native corporations, stock and land, especially 1991. I didn't understand why it was so important to so many here. And while at school at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, I noticed that everyone was concerned and knew a lot about these issues. And that is when I decided to find out about what was going on. I learned how important it is that we keep our stock. As a result, I want to start my own radio station when I get my degree. I want to help preserve my heritage. I think it is important to do everything here we can as a Native to keep the stock in the future to help our Native corporations. Show your children how the importance of keeping the stock to the land so that they will keep it and pass it on to their children. And in closing, with my testimony, I would like to stress to everyone in the Nana region to think about what everything boils down to is, once you sell your stock, where will you go? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Ferguson. Well, would this be about the right time to stop for lunch, do you think, and come back at 1:30, 2? All right. Well, I just want to thank everybody who spoke this morning. I think it was another very good hearing, and I learned an awful lot, and I do appreciate it. So I think we're ready for some lunch, so we'll adjourn now, and we'll start. I timed that perfectly. We'll come back at 2 o'clock. Oh.
I think that way you'll give them more chance to keep them all.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, maybe we'll get started this afternoon. We had a good meeting Monday night and then a good meeting this morning, and I'm glad that we have some people here this afternoon who'd like to have an opportunity to speak. Maybe I could just make a comment on one of the issues that came up this morning that quite a few people raised. Some people said that they lived in Kotzebue but happened to be enrolled with village corporations in other regions of Alaska or regional corporations, not the Nana Regional Corporation, but Arctic Slope or Chilista or one of those. They wondered what could be done about that. Well, that's a problem that's come up in a lot of other places too. A lot of people feel that way. Of course, the rolls were closed quite a few years ago, but if Congress were to decide that the rolls should be opened up to enable the children born since 1971 to be registered for shares to be issued to them. It is conceivable, I suppose, that Congress might be persuaded to open up the rolls for those people who feel they're not enrolled with the corporation or the region they want to be, or even for some people, and there are some who were never enrolled at all. That's something, though, that came up this morning, and it's come up in a lot of other places, too. A man named Greg Moore has submitted his testimony in writing, and he cannot be here this afternoon or at the senior centers this evening, so he asked if I would read it, and I said I would. And this is Greg Moore's testimony. He says, "My name is Greg Moore. I am a non-native and have lived in Kotzebue for 5 years. I am a biologist and was employed by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game for 6 years, four of them in Kotzebue. Currently, I am self-employed and a part-time instructor at Chukchi Community College. The Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act and the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act had the effect of dividing the Inupiat Eskimo relationship with the land into separate legal parts defined by the Western system of laws. One of those parts is the institution of wildlife management. The effect of Western wildlife management is to mediate the relationship of Inupiat Eskimo with the land and resources they depend on. The wildlife management system in Northwest Alaska does not function properly. The wildlife regulations interfere with daily Inupiat Eskimo life, especially in the villages. Wildlife enforcement efforts target the wrong people for punishment and end up causing more problems than they solve. Wildlife agency personnel are generally unprepared and untrained for the human setting of Northwest Alaska and end up giving the appearance of racially prejudiced behavior, even though such discrimination is not intended. The public input system, which advises wildlife management institutions, does not function properly in Northwest Alaska, so these human problems are not identified and not addressed. Because of these problems, the relationship between Inupiat Eskimo and wildlife management institutions could be described as antagonistic. Much of what Inupiat hunters do in the field is technically illegal, even though those same hunting practices are perfectly acceptable from the standpoint of conservation. These problems are not generally thought of as part of the issues surrounding ANCSA. Many of these problems with the wildlife management system, however, are related to what happened to Alaska Natives as a result of ANCSA and ANILCA. I hope the Alaska Native Review Commission is able to give some attention to the problems of wildlife management and Alaska Natives. I feel it is possible for wildlife science and Inupiat Eskimo to work together hand in hand toward culturally sensitive wildlife management. Thank you for listening to these comments. I am providing a paper to the Commission through Reggie Jewell, which deals more specifically with issues in game management in Northwest Alaska. And Mr. Moore has submitted a paper called A Review of Game Management in Northwest Alaska, January 1984, and I've had a chance to read this to myself. I'm not going to read it out loud because it would take us most of the afternoon, but it's a very interesting paper, and I'm glad that Mr. Moore was able to let us have his thoughts. Well, we heard from 18 people on Monday night at the hearing, and we heard from 10 more this morning. So we've heard from 28 people altogether here in Kotzebue, and it's been very worthwhile. And so we've got the gym for a couple more hours today until the basketball team takes it over for their practice, I gather. Their coach was in to see me and wanted to make sure we'd get out of here later today. So we've got time to hear any further thoughts that you have.
Good afternoon. My name is Marie Schwind, and I'm the president of Manilakh Association. I was born and raised in Deering, one of the villages in the Nana region, and I've spent most of my adult years here in Kotzebue. Before I address what I would like to say in regards to these hearings, I want to thank Judge Berger and his wife Beverly for, you know, coming up here and even taking the time to go to our couple of our villages, going on to Shungnak and to Selwick. And I hope that you have just as good a turnout there as you've had here the last, ever since Monday evening. I'm really happy, you know, hearing the different people from the different places in this region come up here and voice their personal opinions and addressing, you know, how they feel about Angska, how they feel about our land and subsistence way of life. So I thought I need to come up here and mostly address the things that I feel, you know, personally about our corporations or Angska, IRAs, you know, the different issues that have been addressed for a number of years in this region, especially since 1971. And like the majority of the people that have spoken up, not just since Monday, but ever since December 18th, 1971, that kind of saved me there. I was just starting to get a little nervous here. Is the land. To me, that's the most important thing, is our land. And I think I share the same type of feelings that other people have already addressed, whether it be our young people, people my age, or our elders. We know we cannot survive without our land. And sometimes when I hear someone say that it was given to us, I tend to want to correct them because I feel that land was always there for us. Each, no matter what nationality we are, we, you know, we have been placed here. You know, we're the people that live in this part of Alaska that's in the Nana region. So I think the land, even before 1971, you know, we never heard our native people say, my land. It was always our land. And it didn't, they even didn't break it down to, you know, Deering's land, Kotzebue's land, Kivalina's land. It wasn't that way at the times when I was growing up. It was always ours, and we're meaning everybody, whether they're native or non-native. If the non-natives had a need to live off the land, that was the choice they made themselves. And if they needed to learn how to survive in our region, there were always people there, native people there, to help them, you know, learn to survive and to work with us, especially if it was people from, you know, that weren't from our village or from our region. And if we knew that they care for us, they care just like we do, we were always willing to help them out. We had all those kinds of values, and then we were, you know, changes started to be being made. And I think a lot of it happened when the Angska, you know, was passed and signed as an act, a law. And then we had to be changed. That's when corporations came about. And I remember in 1972, just before I was about 7 months pregnant, and there was a knock on the door, and a man came. It was a native man, not from our region, I remember. And he was carrying a briefcase. And I said, come in, what's up? You know, I was just wondering because, you know, he was so businesslike. And I told him to sit down. He pulled out these forms and he said, have you heard about what the native people need to do? And I said, no, what are you talking about? And he said, if I want to, you know, be counted as a native, I would have to, you know, sign, fill out these forms that he had in front of him. And he started, and I said, you know, of course I'm a native. I was born and raised, you know, in Deering, and I'm an Eskimo. And I kiddingly said to him, geez, you mean we have to prove that now on a piece of paper? And then he started explaining, you know, Angska and the different things that have been passed and came about. So I filled it out, and I had told him I was born in Deering, and I wanted to, you know, be a shareholder of Deering. And his first question was, have you lived in Deering the last 5 years? And I said, no. You know, I've been living here in Kotzebue. And so that was the reason I was given as to why I could not sign up and be under Deering, you know, as a shareholder of Deering. So I am a shareholder of KIC, Kikiktaruk. And I'm really fortunate, after listening to others that have testified, that of being a shareholder for, you know, one of the native corporations or the village corporations in this region. I would rather be a shareholder of my home, my hometown, but that's, you know, past now. And I think that just from hearing, you know, everyone speaking up, all the meetings we've had ever since, every year we have a NANA annual meeting, and Manilak is there with NANA addressing our, you know, needs and our concerns that we have each year. I feel fortunate to, I'm glad that I belong to the NANA region. I'm a shareholder of the NANA region. I'm in my position, I'm having to go to a number of meetings, especially in Anchorage with the different native corporations, whether it be the profit or the nonprofit corporations. And that's the time when we address the different problems that we're having. And it mainly deals with, you know, ANGSCA, under the things that AFN is trying to do. So just that makes me realize how happy I am to be part of the NANA region, because we have people here that they're doing everything they can to help us, to make sure that we make it. We have, like one of the speakers this morning addressed, we have the board of directors, and these board of directors are, you know, picked and voted and chosen by us, by the shareholders. And if there are any kind of disagreements that we have with our village corporations or our regional corporation, we have, you know, the right, and they even will give us the time to speak up and address the disagreements we may have with them, or whether we're, you know, there's something they're addressing at a particular meeting on in the agenda. We have that time, you know, to address whatever our feelings are, and we should use that. The NANA, you know, every year we vote for the board of directors, and I know some will even say, but I can't get on, or they won't listen to me. And my answer is usually, don't give up, keep on trying. That's what we just need to do. I know a lot of times when we tried two or three times, you know, and we still feel we're not getting anywhere or they're not listening, all I can say is, you know, try as hard as you can and continue to voice what your particular needs or issues that you want to address with the board of directors. And we have an annual meeting every year. That's when individuals can speak up and address, you know, whatever concerns they may have. And I think all those different avenues are there for us to, you know, be given the time to speak up. And the other, under the nonprofit corporation, and I'm an employee of Manilak Association, even under a nonprofit corporation, these board members are chosen by the IRAs of every village. They, you know, if they are unhappy with their representative, if they feel that they're not addressing what they should be, you know, their needs are, telling me what I and my staff are having to do to better serve our region, then these board of directors should be changed. I think that when I hear negative things, you know, about we're not getting anywhere, we've said these things before, then maybe some of us are not going to the right people. You know, I don't know. Whenever someone comes to me where I work, I try to tell them the best way I know, and I even direct them to who I think could help them. If they're talking about a NANA concern or a KIC concern, you know, I'll tell them that that's where they should go. If they're talking about other issues of programs within Manilak Association, and if I can't answer it, I'll refer them to, you know, directly to the program. But all that is in place, and that's mainly why I want to, you know, address some of the things that are already in place within our region. I think when this act was passed, some of us feel that, you know, maybe the federal government thought we wouldn't get as far as we've gone today. And that's why I say we're very fortunate to have leaders and people that care, you know, to be putting their personal time, the majority of the time, it's their own time, forward and for us, for all of us, you know, natives that are in the state of Alaska. But just mainly within the Nana region, you know, that's how I feel. Sure, I've had myself had disagreements with what's being said, and then I, in turn, it's real uncomfortable for me even now to be speaking in front of this group or even knowing it's on the radio. So what I tend to do is I go directly to, you know, whether it be the president of KIC or the president of NANA, I'll go to them, you know, and talk with them individually and address to them what my concerns are. And their door is always open for that. And it's the same way at Manilak. So I know, just on the basis of the experience I've had within the NANA region, you know, those kinds of things are there and available for us. And I think, like the rest of the people that have been speaking, I want to hang on to our land. We need to have it for, not just for us right now, but for our children. I have four children, and my daughter is 18. She's a shareholder, but my three other children are not shareholders. And like, you know, the rest of the parents, I want my children to be counted. I want them to have a share of what we have now, whether it, the main thing is land. Sure, we get, you know, dividend checks every year. And even when that occurs, I know within some of the families, because all their children don't get a dividend check, that causes some feelings, and sometimes it's unpleasant feelings because, you know, they're asking us, you know, how come I don't get one? And then we as parents, you know, have to try to explain the best we know how why they're not getting a dividend check, just like, you know, one of the our older children. So since these kinds of things have occurred, that's, you know, one of the reasons why we have, some of us have hard feelings or, you know, negative feelings about what's been happening, because we are dividing, you know, our people, even within the families we're doing it. And I think that those, if we feel that way, and I for one do, we need to work with, whether it be AFN, whether it be our regional corporation, and trying to see if amendment and amendment or amendments could be made to the act. We need to work with the Congress, with the people in Washington, D.C., and I know that's AFN's goal. They're wanting to go out to the villages, to the different regions, and address the issues of 1991. These were started, you know, last year. They've had retreats. Some of the regions even feel that, you know, they haven't had the chance to speak up. So what AFN is planning to do is, after this last convention, they're going to be going out to the villages and addressing, you know, listening to the people like Berger is doing now. But they have specific resolutions that need to be addressed so they can be better prepared for the special convention that's going to be held in March. But I think all that, you know, we're trying to, or AFN and NANA are trying to keep us informed the best way they know how. They've got staff that are, you know, on board, and as they learn whatever needs to be told to us, they're either on the radio, they either go to the village, you know, and they try to keep us informed the best way they know how. And I think that Manilak Association, all the different agencies that are involved within the NANA region should play a part in that, in trying to inform our people. Like this morning, it was said that most of us don't even know, we know very little about ANGSCA. And I'm one of them. I know very little about ANGSCA, even though I've been employed with Manilak Association since 1976. And I think that this is what we'll, you know, get from these hearings. We'll find out, all of us, you know, here, and the people that speak up, the agencies that are involved with helping people out, will find out what our needs are. What are some of the things that we need to do? Do we need to start addressing this act, ANGSCA, in our classes? You know, starting to start teaching even classes within the different corporations like Manilak Association, working with our board and our villages. This is what we're going to find out in hearing when the people, you know, speak up and address what they feel that the you know, what, especially when they say they don't know or they know very little about Angska, because, you know, I can honestly say that's where I am right now. I know that come 1991, I don't think I would be able to, if no kind of amendments were made to the act, I don't know if I would be able to afford to pay taxes on my land. You know, and I know I'm going to do everything I can to hang on to that land. For my children. Because what I've had up to now, I want them to have. One of the things is the main reason why we want to hang on to our land is because of our subsistence way of life. Like some have stated, we can, you know, run to the store, to Hanson's or AC, and we can buy whatever we want to eat at the different grocery stores that we have here. But it's not the same. I've been gone for, you know, 4 years in high school, and we didn't have any nikapak then, and I went to business college for 1 year, and I couldn't believe that was all I thought about, you know, is I wanted to eat nikapak. I would be happy with even a Sail Boy cracker. When I was down there, I was even checking the different stores looking for a Sailor Boy cracker. You know, that's not actually, you know, sea oil or bog mitak or anything like that, but that's what I associate with home meals, because all the time, ever since I can remember, Sailor Boy crackers were around. And I think people can come in here and build all the different, as many grocery stores as they want, but it's still not going to change. We're still going to need our subsistence way of life. We're still going to need the nikapak that we have, whether it be once a week, every day, but we still need it. It's just part of us. And that's why most of us are voicing, or all of us are voicing, how important it is for the natives or all of us in Yupak to hang on to our land, because that's our life. Our subsistence way of life is our way of living. That's part of our way of living. And then the other thing is we have, you know, when we talk about land, we need to let our corporation know or give them some ideas of, you know, how they can address some of the needs that we have. Like our land, you know, we've heard them talk about land bank. And, you know, I don't know that much about it, but they're there. They're willing to find out for us which way is the best way for us to go and which way we should, you know, what kind of issues we should be addressing before 1991. Like within Manilak, we have a number of programs that we're trying to work along with NANA. We have the Regional Strategy Plan, the CZM plan, the Coastal Zone Management Plan, and we have the Tribal Specific Health Plan. These are documents. The CZM plan hasn't been adopted by the state yet, but the other two, you know, those were plans that were made from meeting with different, all the villages in this region, asking them what their needs are. And I think if, you know, we've gone that far in saying, you know, what we need for our region, we can do the same thing with our regional or our village corporations. We should all want to, you know, work together to be better prepared for 1991. And I think more than anything, that's how the majority of us feel. In place, like I had mentioned, there are board members. In every village, that's where all our board members come from. It's from NANA, whether it be from NANA, the school district, Manilak, IRA, city, our health councils, they're all, you know, there's a representative from every village. So I think, you know, all that is in place. We've made a step forward, and we need to use those people to make sure that our concerns and our needs are addressed. So I think that, you know, we're really fortunate to be given the time to speak up and address, you know, how we feel, how we personally feel. Even though for a lot of us, and I can say that for myself, it's really hard to come up and try to address your personal feelings. It's easy for us when we know we have to represent a body of people, but when we come up here and try to, you know, let people know how we feel about our land, taxation, you know, the children born after 1971, it's really hard when you have to address personal feelings. But I think a lot of the people that have been up here so far, I'm really proud, and that even makes me more proud to be a part of the Nana region. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Swind. Thank you.
I know that there are other people out there waiting to get the nerve up to come up here, and we'll be up here fairly soon. But there's been something that I've been wondering about, and that concerns the control of the corporation in the future, say for instance 50 years from now, 75 years from now. I think in all of our minds we expect that the corporation will remain a corporation as long as the Eskimos will be in the future, whether it's the 100 years from now or 2,000 years from now. Now, when you think in terms of that and you recognize that those born after 1971 are not shareholders, that places a very serious question on who will control the corporation. 50 years from now, those born in 1971 will be about 63. Perhaps they'll only be about a quarter of the people left, be a very selected group of people. Will they be the last ones who will make major decisions as they pertain to land, as they pertain to business, anything pertaining to the corporation? In 70 years from now, who will make the decision? Who will select or elect the board of directors? How will all that fall into place for the corporation? That, you know, I don't believe that Congress really thought that out. Perhaps they did, in fact, believe that we would destroy ourselves and our corporation and our land, and gave us the rope to hang ourselves with. I think these are things we have to think very seriously about. You know, my great-grandchildren, I expect them to have some control over their corporation. But the question is how? And hopefully your commission will be addressing that. And I'm sure it already is. By the way, for the record, I'm Susie Ehrlich. Thank you.
Thank you.